hello everybody and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. It feels good to be sitting in this chair, and thank you for allowing me to take some time off. My original plan at Christmas Clatter, and did it for several years, was to run year round, but I couldn't just do like once a month. I felt like I had to do more than that. And then, you know, as it works out and you go through the ebbs and flows, it's like, I like this schedule. Let's just do it on a regular basis from July through Christmas, take a little break, come back for a Hallmark ornament special, and then take a brief break and return for Christmas in July. So that's what we're doing here. Special night tonight. We're recording this on YouTube Live because of our guest and time zones and all that stuff. But after this episode, we will be back on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Central Time. That will be not this next Wednesday that's going to roll around. That's going to be our week break, because we will do every other week until October. And then October, the first Wednesday in October, will hit weekly through Christmas. So so this is a special presentation. That's why we call it a special presentation, because it's on a special night. But have a lot to go over. We have a guest that's been here before, but it's been a while. You guys seen him in the comments before. I'm trying to think. I always do this. I always say that I got this housekeeping. I need to make a list of all the housekeeping news and notes and things that I'm going to do. One thing we will talk about is the theme of, I guess, kind of the reoccurring thing that will happen from now till Thanksgiving, and that is the essential Christmas music playlist, or did I call it? I called it the essential Christmas playlist, is what I called it. And it was spurred from the Christmas episodes I did last season on like the biggest, best Christmas songs by the numbers. Then I shared my personal list. And so then it was like, well, what are the essential Christmas songs? And I was going to do 101. Didn't happen. 101 did not happen. I could not get it down. I think I ended up with counting all the songs and all the various artists with them, with nearly like 400 songs. And I implemented the help of people like Dwayne Bailey, who we'll be talking to shortly, and his co-host on Tinsel Tunes, Scott Newman. I talked with Ken Smith. I talked with my cohorts from the Saturday Morning Mafia, Jerry D and Michael Kristelman, and got some opinions from here and there. Listened to a lot of songs over and over again. And so there's been a few changes to that list. So there's no number attached. It is just the essential Christmas playlist. And every episode between now and the Wednesday before Thanksgiving here in the States, I will be giving, unveiling, I guess, 9 or 10 songs on the list, with the last one being that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. That way it is a full playlist. And before each episode, I will update the playlist with the new songs. It's available on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music. Links are in the description. The songs for this week's episode are already on there. If you want a sneak peek, I ask you, please don't go away to look at it. We'll find out soon enough after we talk to Dwayne. He doesn't know what they are. But a few stats and a few things I want to stress to everybody about this playlist. One, this playlist is not a ranking. It's not worst song to best song or best song to worst song. It's a list. The order of this list is completely random and not a ranking. Some of it is my opinion. Some of it is the opinion of others. There's songs on here I don't care for, but to others, they are very special. There's one song that I think might be a blaring omission, but I don't think it really is. The standards to make this list are confusing and hard to explain, and sometimes it's just a gut feeling you have to have on a song. Now, I didn't limit the number of songs, so we ended up with 122 unique songs. However, I did limit how many times those songs were represented on the list. One song can only be on there with two different artists' versions. So if there's a song on there, then it's either on there one time by one artist or it's on there twice by two artists. And I did not limit the number of times an artist can appear on the list either. That got to be too hard because originally I wanted to limit, you know, how many times the artist was on the list. So a few brief stats. I apologize looking off here to my trusty post-it notes. But like I said, there's 122 unique songs, but by the time you add all the ones that have a double on there, there's going to be 170 songs total. So that's going to be a pretty good playlist. And there are also, I forgot to look to see how many unique artists I had on there. I'll get that at a different time. But the most one artist appears on the list is 10 times. That was the most. I think the next one was 8, then like 6, and then several at 5, and a handful at 3, and then a couple at 2, and then the rest were 1. So it's going to be an interesting list. And the way I chose the order was once I got the lists completed and it was in alphabetical order, I took it to a random selector, put all the names in and sit there and spun the wheel. A song popped up. I put it down. The song, you know, came off that wheel. I spun it again. The song popped up. I put it down. So it's completely randomized. So, that's why I'll probably be stressing that a lot, because a lot of people want to think that these things are rankings and then want to argue it's not a ranking. It's a list. It's a playlist. So that's the only thing I already covered. We'll be back, not this Wednesday coming up, but the one after, back on Wednesdays like normal. And, you know, it's hot here. It was nearly 100 degrees here today in Southeast Missouri. Humidity was high and thick. We had one carrier go home with a heat-related illness. So let's travel to the part of the world that is experiencing winter time right now. Maybe he can bring in a little chilliness with him. He is the founder and co-host of Tinsel Tunes. He's more than an average drummer. He also likes his little twinkly blinky lights. Ran by AI, he is a mad computer genius. He's your and my favorite Christmas Kiwi. Let's talk with the phenomenal Dwayne Bailey. Hey, Dwayne, how's it going?
I'm going great. Hello, everyone.
So
that is such an intro. I just left me lost for words.
Well, I was trying to think all day. Well, actually all week, what I was going to say, I have to work that Christmas Kiwi in there, just because I used it on the last time you were on. So I just, yeah. I had to work it in there. And then you do so many things. And
I do. Yeah. And it makes it still very long.
No, you don't. So I wanted to you know, try to work all that stuff in there. That's why I titled this, I forget what I titled it, Lights, Drumming, and Tunes or something like that, yeah. You know. So, but we talk a lot about Christmas music. We will get into Christmas music in a little bit later, but I want to talk about, and forgive my American pronunciations if it's wrong, it's Townsend Christmas Lights, right?
Yeah, so it's Townsend, Townsend. You know how Townsend can be spelt with or without an H.
Yeah.
Mine's with an H. It's the street I live in. So, uh-huh. Yeah, it's just Townsend Christmas Lights.
Yeah. And it's the synchronized lights. I have a video I'll play here. And for those watching on YouTube, and I had to pull the music off the videos, because when you're streaming on YouTube and you play anything and it gets dinged for copyright, the whole stream just goes dead. And I'd have, you know, get logged back on, yep, and start a whole new stream. So I picked a song that people would know, that way they could kind of see what's going on, you know, without actually hearing it. But what got you in to doing the Christmas lights?
Well, it's my wife's fault. First of all, I'd like to say hi to Chris and Mikey. They've just said hello to me in the chat. So, hi, guys. Yeah. It's my wife's fault. It would have been back in about 2004 or 5. My wife said, because we used to go around and look at the one or two houses here that put lights up. It wasn't a big thing in Hastings where I live. And my wife said, I think we should do something like that. So I brought a couple of sets of cheap bicycle lights from what we call the warehouse, which is supposed to be like, it's a cheaper version of Kmart, essentially, back in the day. Strung those up, took one look at them, and they were just some cheap incandescent lights that weren't very bright at all. And I thought, we can do better than that. And so over those years, I added lots more lights. And then I took a few years off because of my knees. I think a lot of people have heard that I had knee issues on and off for a while. And came back to it about 4 years ago with these animated lights that you can see now. This is last year's display. So as with most displays, I started fairly light, no pun intended, and added more items through the years. And that's last year's. That's where I'm at. And I've got some new things to add for this year.
Oh, nice. Yeah, for those just watching the video, the song is, Look at My House or something like that. But the music is Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Christmas Sarajevo, 1224 or whatever that song's called. You hear it all the time, especially for synchronized lights. But they put lyrics to it, and that's why the Christmas lights are singing there on the side. But if you just think of Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you'll see the patterns in the lights for the music. But
of course, on YouTube, you can go and have a look.
Yes, yes. The link for all Duane's lights and his drumming and everything are in the description. So, and he has multiple songs and for multiple seasons too. And I think he did a few Halloween lights things, best I remember.
I did some test items last year at Halloween time, but it wasn't an actual Halloween display. Any excuse to put lights up early. So a few of the newer items that I was testing for weather, because we had a lot of rain the year before. And some of the items which were supposed to have been waterproof weren't, and it gave me a lot of trouble. Right. So last year, the year I took off from Tinsel Tunes is when I focused on getting everything perfect.
Right.
And so it wasn't an actual Halloween display as such. It was just like, oh, it's Halloween. I'll put a few things out, put some Halloween sort of colors on, and just had them for testing. So at the moment I've got you can see on the house those two light bulbs, pictures of the light bulb. That's an LED matrix board. And so what I've done, I've split that into four, and they're going to be sitting in between the arches. The arches, those green, red, green ones on the fence, they'll sit in between there. And I've got those on test outside because it's raining a lot at the moment where we are as well. It means come December, if we get a lot of rain, I can trust that they're going to go through the season without giving me issues. And on the house where the matrix is will be a projector screen. So I'm going to projector in the middle of the house.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I imagine that's a pain to put up all those lights and then the weather come and take some out. And then it's like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, exactly. Especially the rain, because what happens is the rain gets into where the pixels are. Shorts out the data circuit, and then they just do weird stuff and it won't stop doing that until they dry out. So essentially that whole night is written off.
So when you go into planning this, do you have like a, how do you even be, you know, this is really cool and I would love to do something like this, but Holly, that just made Holly scared because she knows I would take everything to 11. You know, in so how do you even begin to plan something like this? Is it like you bought one thing and then slowly added on, or did you just all the way, you know, dive in head first?
A little bit of both. So this particular display, on the very first year, I put couple of things out to see if I could do it. And I didn't go on the light trail because I'm in a cul-de-sac. Nobody came down and saw it. So that was mainly just to test to see if the Wi-Fi could reach and if I could do it. And it worked well. Then the following year, I added things like the arches, the what we call mega tree, which is on the gate, and a few other items. Then last year, added a whole bunch more. I basically look at it and go, what would look good there? So last year, I added on the front fence where the arches are, there's those little rods and then this little like star things on top, little bursts. They're new because I thought the fence needed something more, and that's what I sort of came up with. The stockings are new last year. Those are the two beside the mega tree. And you can't see in the video, but there's two bows underneath the main windows, and they're new as well. You can just sort of make them out.
Pop up there a little bit. Now, does some of the stuff you build yourself with the lights, or you just kind of outsource it and just buy it? Because on my mail route, I have people that do synchronized lights, and sometimes they build some of their stuff. They just buy the lights and then use some PVC piping and things to make.
That's exactly what we do. So the arches at the front are basically a clear tubing with the strip lights in and just bent to fit. The bits by the arches that stick up is just PVC with the lights poked through. The mega tree on the fence there is like a skeleton. There's a pole that goes through the middle of the item and some spines, and then the strip light just runs from top to bottom. And then at the end of the season, I can take that. I've done it in two pieces where I can fold it on itself, and then I can store it behind a cabinet here in the room. But everything is effectively homemade, because here in New Zealand, you can't buy a lot of the stuff that is just off the shelf from vendors in the United States. So things like the stars, the icicles, you just buy those in Coro flutes. They're already been punched with holes. They're already laser cut and everything. They're too expensive to buy in. So we have to get the Coro flute, design it, cut it, put the holes in it.
Yeah.
That takes a bit of time. And it's definitely a lot cheaper in the long run.
Yeah. Well, then there's also that satisfaction of doing it yourself.
Exactly.
So because sometimes you buy something and then it's not quite what you wanted or not quite what you thought, but when you're doing it yourself, you can make sure it's going to fit and things. But do you have a dedicated computer for this?
I do. So my main computer inside that I use for everything is what I use the programming on. Once it's programmed, it's uploaded to a little Raspberry Pi. Little central, what they call a single board computer. And it's about the size of a cell phone, essentially. And it sits and connects. In my display, it's a Wi-Fi display. So nothing is connected back to a main master controller. It's all distributed by Wi-Fi, and the Raspberry Pi just sort of sits outside underneath the eaves and with a wireless a router, and just sends the signals out to the little controllers on each item.
The computer decides the colors and the patterns, or is that something you program, or a little bit of both? Or
nice, it's all programmed. So a little program called X-Lights, which is a free program that pretty much all the light enthusiasts use. There's another one called Vixen, which isn't as popular anymore. Think of it like a spreadsheet. So down one hand side, you'd have all your items, so like arches, windows, what have you, and then it's a timeline, and you just go and select an effect, drag it into the line, pull it out for as long as you need, like 1 second, 2 seconds, what have you, and then just repeat that millions of times over. So it can take hours and hours to program.
Yeah, like one song.
Yeah. So what I've done, and you get really sick of the songs. If you're hearing. So like this song here, the one that you mentioned, it's a funny song. It's a good song. People really liked it. But if I could never hear it again in my life, that would be too soon. Yeah.
I completely understand that. Yeah.
Especially if you're just doing one or 2 minutes, and you might be there all night just trying to get every item to do what you want to do. You can do what they call whole house items. So you might go whole house butterfly effect, and that's done. or you might go, archers do this, and, you know, like snowflakes do that. Like that effect, there's a whole house effect. So that like, seconds.
Yeah.
But then if I wanted the archers to go red, blue, green, cut in and out, and what have you, you do that separately from everything else. And then you move on to the next item and do the same thing. So,
See, that's where
it
I
can
would
be as time consuming as you want or as easy as you want, depending on how many hours you want to put into it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to do the, you got to do it yourself so you can get exactly what you want and get the cooler effect and maybe come up with something that maybe people haven't seen before. Or
Well, that's right. Because you can buy sequence. So that's called a sequence. You can buy those in and sort of adapt them to your display. A lot of people do that. I've done that on and off for certain effects, especially when I was learning the display. It was pretty basic, and I was like, this doesn't look any good. Right. So I'd borrow the free ones, put those in on my items, and then that was done, and then just sort of move around the display. It's a great way to learn the software,
right?
Because it's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, wow. I didn't realize it was like each, I figured there was a way to do each individual control, but I figured for some, you know, for some reason, I just thought, well, there's, you know, the computer figures it out.
You can have it so it's sort of like that, but really the fun is saying, right, I want the tree to do this awesome thing that I've seen on YouTube. You can either go and find a sequence for free if it's close enough or figure out how it's done. Which is why we usually start earlier in the year. So it's all done by about October, ready to put out.
Yeah. Well, you have to, because if it's not, then you're kind of wasting a lot of time, and then you'll never get it done as the holidays get closer.
Exactly. You've got to make the hardware reliable, but then you've got to make the sequence itself enjoyable and the wow factor. So, because this type of display isn't huge in New Zealand, there's a small group of us on Facebook. There's probably about 35 of us or so. Anyone who sees the displays are just knocked over because they've never seen anything like it. And in fact, I was at my local electronics store the other day and was buying some bits. And the young guy behind the counter goes, "Oh, what are you doing? Yeah, what are you using these for?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'm just doing LED stuff." I didn't want to get into it. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I'm doing LEDs on my house this year." He said, "I saw this house and it danced to music and it's on YouTube." I said, "Oh, where's the house?" He goes, "Here in Hastings somewhere." And I said, he pulled up that video and said, "Is it this one?" He goes, "Yeah." And I went, "It's my house." And I said, "Look, just reach out if you need any help." But I haven't heard from him yet. So I'm sure I will when it's October and he hasn't started.
Oh, you'd be like, well, it'd be October. That's a good start for Christmas 2024.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
a great place to start would actually be inside on the Christmas tree. So you'd get the lights. So the lights come from China. Typically, I've got a supplier over there that I like to use, but typically they're all very much the same. And just do it inside on the Christmas tree. Then nobody can see it if you've made a horrible, you know, mess up of it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's a great place to sort of get in the ins and outs of the software and the hardware.
Let me make a note of that right now, Dwayne. Synchronized Christmas tree. I think that.
I'm sure Holly would love that. About five of them.
Yeah. Now if I can get some synchronized kids, that'd be all right. So, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, in fact, the lights that are running behind me is the same technology. So it's the same lights, it's the same controller, and it's run through the same software, but I use them on my drum stream as well. So,
yeah.
You can use them for anything.
Yeah, see, you can see my lights up there, but they're LEDs, but they're Govi, so they have an app to control them. It's not the real high end software. Yeah. But speaking of your drums, because you're just a music lover through and through. You told the story before about hearing Brian Earle talk about, you know, different Christmas podcasts. He mentioned Tinsel Tunes, a music podcast, and that's something that when I saw that video, that's something that kind of like hit me too. But it just didn't seem right. You know, I just didn't feel like any, but then it wasn't long. You popped up with it and I was like, the right guy got it. And, and you talked about your love of music from your dad playing in bands and stuff and how you drum. And, Holly says it's okay for the Christmas tree as long as she doesn't have to figure out the IT stuff. So
just, that's the other. Just plug it and make it go. Yeah. In fact, funny enough, it's all able to be controlled by she who can't be named, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't want to set up anyone's units if I happened to be listening in a room.
Yeah.
Because you can walk into the room and just say, turn on the Christmas lights, and then all of a sudden they'd all turn on. So It can be as simple as voice controlled as well.
Yeah. We have our Christmas trees controlled on and off by, we call it the Googs, so it doesn't go off. You know. So we're not too far from there. So we'll have to think of something. But maybe we run lights around the whole house and then never mind. But anyway, back to music. You know, you talked about your love of music you got from your dad, and you know, him playing, I believe it was guitar in bands and stuff, and you became a drummer. And you know, being a Christmas lover, you just took off with Tinsel Tunes and ran for that for a while. I had to take a little bit of a break because, like you said earlier, for some health reasons and surgeries and stuff, and handed that off to Scott and Newman, and then came back.
Yeah.
And then came back, and now you and Scott are kind of tag team co-hosts on that, which is, I know it's nice, you know, to have someone to share the load, because you guys research pretty heavy at times. I've tried to look into research on Christmas songs, and it's not easy to look, you know, in the history of Christmas songs, because sometimes there's just a lot of false narratives out there about them, you know?
Oh, exactly. So when I'm doing the research, it's quite easy maybe just to go to Wikipedia, see what Wikipedia says, and use that verbatim, but 9 times out of 10, it's not correct. It's not. Or it's close enough, it could be correct.
Yeah.
But then I always take what information I see from one particular source and see if I can match it through multiple sources.
Yeah.
To verify that what we're saying is as true as what we believe it to be. Right. Sometimes we get it wrong, but usually not much. But yeah, as you say, some of the songs also have different origins, and even all the records can't decide which is the actual origin of the song. So you sort of got to cover them all.
Right.
It can really get to be quite the rabbit hole.
Yeah, it can be. And it's an amazing podcast for those that haven't listened. Please do go and take a listen. There's a whole back catalog there waiting to be binged for this Christmas season, and more coming on the way. You had a really great guest here. We recorded last weekend, and that was a lot of fun to be a part of Tinsel Tunes and talk about Jingle Bell Rock. But I was going to talk about your drumming, but I got on the Christmas music. But
that's all right.
And talking about your lights for your drumming, it's like, you just can't get enough of lights and music and media, so you started streaming on Twitch as the average drummer, which is a great name. You're better than an average. You're better than an average drummer, but it is a great name. And you do it on YouTube. You do more reactions and stuff on YouTube's a little bit more stringent on the old copyright thing.
It is.
Makes it a little tougher sometimes, but you know. Doing a podcast on, you know, Christmas music and then doing all the lights and stuff, what made you want to start streaming as a drummer, just to get your chops in?
Yeah, so I'm self-taught. So I started getting an interest in drums around about, when I was 16, so that would have made it 1986, when I tried to learn guitar from my dad. I'm left-handed by nature, so we found it extremely awkward to try to learn, because dad wanted me to learn right-handed, and it wasn't natural enough for me, and I wanted to learn left-handed. And we got in a couple of arguments and then gave up. So Dad's band used to practice in our kitchen sometimes, and I remember being able to sit on the drummer's kit and sort of have a bit of a bash around. And funnily enough, it sort of became quite natural to play a right-handed kit, right-handed as a left-handed person. Because normally a left-handed kit, everything's on the opposite side. So I sort of took to it like duck to water and self-taught myself. So I've got a lot of technical things to work through, but it works for me. And I can hold a rhythm and I can play a song. So that's why I call myself the average drummer, because I'm not great by any means, but I'm also not great. So I'm average. So so it works out really well. I got onto Twitch mainly because I wanted to have a reason to play, because I'm not in a band. I don't want really be in a band yet. And if I do, it just wants to be like a little three-piece playing some cocktail jazz or something at little events and things like that, you know, just as a hobby. So I needed a reason. So I was doing YouTube covers, and that was fine. It's very hard for a drummer to get momentum on YouTube, get a lot of subscribers.
Yeah.
And so I started to lose interest, and then somebody said, oh, why don't you do a reaction video to a certain song that came out? I think it was Extreme, because they've come back with a new album, and I did a reaction to that song. And then I got quite a few subscribers from that, and people tend to react back to me, so I kept on reacting. So I've done a few. I haven't been able to get onto YouTube for about the last 6 weeks or so, just with work. And I get home and I'm tired, or the puppy needs attention, or now the lights, so they're taking preference again. But Twitch was a reason for me to get there, to get better, because I'm technically playing in front of people, and I didn't want those people to go, you're no good, I'm not going to watch you, or anything like that. And the support from people watching the streams is amazing. People on Twitch are very, very supportive of creative people, because it takes a lot to get on the camera, as you know. Put yourself out there, and especially when you've got a skill of some kind and you're putting it out there, and it might be, in my case, what I think is average, and it's the negative feedback that you fear, and when it doesn't come, you're sort of like, oh, well, actually, this is a thing. I might be that good or good enough to do this and get people that want to have a listen, request some songs, and as a result, it means that I can take some of those technical issues that I've had and work on them, and make myself a better drummer. So, and that's what's been happening.
Yeah. I was talking to Ken Smith the other day about this. I don't want to deny that there's people with talent. There's people with immense talents. But for the majority of people, those that are really good at what they're doing, whether it's drumming or guitar playing or drawing or whatever, they just kind of just poke around till they get it right. And when they become really good, it's because they poked around to get it right so many times, they know which direction to go already. You know, it's just kind of, you know, and I think a lot of people think, well, you got to have talent, and talent is a part of it, but you can learn a lot more. People can learn a lot more than they think they can.
Yeah. And having a passion, it's the passion. I mean, I've got drumsticks everywhere. I've got a pair in the car. I've got a pair on my computer desk inside. I've got a pair beside the bed even. So sometimes if I'm just sort of, you know, when we go to bed or what have you, and I'm watching YouTube videos, sometimes I'll just sort of do a bit of drumming on my knees or something like that.
Right.
Always drumming on the steering wheel of the car, drumming on tables. People are always telling me to stop drumming. Because that tapping means something to me, but it's annoying to everyone else.
They can't hear rest of the song.
I'm sure if I was a guitarist or something, I would have a guitar in the car all times, and I would have a couple of acoustic ones around the house, always be playing them, because Dad was like that. He was always picking up a guitar and just noodling, as I call it.
And
I do this. I got another kit as well, so the green kit that you've seen on the stream video, that's an acoustic kit I converted to electronic.
That was
a huge change in the way I played, because where I am, if I played an acoustic kit at 10 o'clock at night, the neighbors beside us would complain, and they did complain. Not that I played at 10, but they just complained. So I converted it to electronic, with electronic module, electronic skins, electronic sensors, then brought electronic cymbals. And I can play at 2 o'clock in the morning if I wanted to, and it doesn't bother anyone. But as a result, playing on an electronic kit is different to playing on an acoustic kit.
Yeah.
So I've just recently brought a little acoustic kit. The idea with that is I can take it places and play with other musicians for fun, mainly my brothers, who both play guitar for obvious reasons. and then I can just throw that in the car and go and just noodle around with them. And when I need to, I can practice that. In fact, for Christmas, I want to play some brushes on the snare to some songs and hopefully record those, but you can't do brushes on an electric kit, so I can do those on the acoustic kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, I play bass or attempt to, and playing at a church, and they switched from an acoustic drum kit to electronic. I was probably the saddest person in the world as the bass player, because it's like, okay, I can hear the drums, but I cannot feel the drums. And it's just not the same. You know, it's just like all the analog is gone, you know, all the moving air is just gone.
And yeah, it's a definite feel to acoustic drums over electric. Yeah. If I had the choice, if I could only get one kit, it would be electric, because I can make them sound any which way I want.
Yeah.
With the acoustic kit, if I don't like cymbals, I'm going to go and spend good money buying expensive cymbals just to get a sound, whereas I can get a reasonably good sound out of a decent sample.
Yeah.
But like I say, it just means that my son can be in the room on his Xbox while I'm playing on the electric kit, and it doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
As soon as I jump over to the acoustic kit, he's out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So there's sometimes so you want to play
people around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. There's sometimes you want to play the acoustic kit.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. Like I said, you do so many things, and with Tinsel Tunes, and well, you're going into your fifth year of Tinsel Tunes this season.
Yes. Yeah. So next month, August, is our fifth anniversary. So we'll be starting our sixth year. I didn't think I'd be 2 years into it, let alone 5 years into it. Obviously, it's only 4 years for me because Scott and Jay took over for that year.
Yeah.
But I was glad when I stepped aside, I missed it quite a fair bit. And even though at that point it was starting to get, you know, the research was time consuming and started to get a bit of a pain in the neck. And obviously I had knee issues and health issues and the lights when I dedicated the year to getting those right. Right. Missed the podcast big time. And so when I said to Scott, because Jay stepped aside to do his own thing, and I said to Scott, I said, well, why don't I come on as a guest once or twice? So I did that. And then I said, so why don't I come back full time and we do this thing together? And he was stoked.
Yeah.
I don't know what stoked means, but he was very happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, we haven't looked back since. So it works out really well. I do. We both do the research, and then we do the recording, and Scott edits together and puts it out. So, which there should be one dropping in the next 3 or 4 days. Usually, the end of the month, he puts it out.
Yeah, yeah. It's Scott's a podcast machine, you know.
Oh yeah, Scott, definitely.
He's all over the place, but yeah, I wish people could have saw us when we finished recording that Jingle Bell Rock episode, and we were just sitting there talking, the three of us, and you said something about Tinsel Tunes turning five, and I'm like, well, Christmas Clatter just turned four, and it's like we looked at each other and we're like, can you believe we've been doing this that long?
Oh, I know. And I think I was listening to Tim the other day, you know, can't wait for Christmas. I think he just celebrated his eighth year perhaps.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my Lord, you know, it's sort of like, it only feels like all these podcasts are a couple of years old.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're actually getting on a bit, just like the hosts, really.
Yeah. Well, when I came on, Scott introduced me as like one of the godfathers of the Christmas podcast. I'm like, no, I'm kind of like the second round guys, you know. I always feel like you use like the second round, you know, second generation, because there was Tim and Brian, and then My Merry Little Podcast, and then Christmas Stockings.
Yeah. Stocking.
And yeah. And Tis the Podcast, I believe, is in that group too.
Yep.
You know, and then I feel like, you know, me and you and Mike Westfall, you know, kind of like that second generation coming up. And then Chris Sicily from Christmas Time in the City says, not exaggeration to say that Tinsel Tunes changed the course of my entire life. I'm beyond grateful to Dwayne and Todd. So thank you so much, Chris, for saying that for us.
And I was on their podcast once or twice. I think it might have been once. Yeah. And it was absolutely a hoot to talk to other people across the world.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both Chris's are amazing. I miss their podcast. Chris, I don't know if you're going to be bringing it back, but I really miss your podcast. Yeah. It was great to hear how a different city, in this case New York, did Christmas compared to how we do it here, and because obviously how you do it there, and it was just a nice window into another life.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great podcast. I remember hearing their first episode and messaging Brian Earle, and I was like, once this Chris and Chris get going, they're going to be really great because I could just hear it. And of course, speaking of podcast machines, Chris is turning into a podcast machine. He is editor, producer extraordinaire now. And it's really great to see. So,
And Lenora's in the house.
Yes.
As the kids say these days.
Yeah, that's exactly what they say.
Yeah.
So
now, Lenora's got, you know, the support that that she gives all the podcasts is absolutely mind blowing and so appreciative.
It's greatly appreciated, and I just don't know how she has so much time to keep up with everybody. But I'm glad she does. You know, so glad she does. Well, Dwayne, let's talk about the essential Christmas playlist.
Let's do.
You had valuable input on certain songs and things, and I'm not sure which, you know, I had songs from you and Scott and others that were all like, you know, marked, and then I erased all the markings because I didn't want any influence.
Oh, yeah.
And I listened to all the songs at work. I'd listen to the songs, you know, I'd listen, and I'd listen to versions back to back and then go back to back. And that's what I've been doing since I've been off, you know, is trying to.
So you're a Christmas song down now. Yeah.
Not really. I'm actually kind of excited, for this playlist. And I'm just gonna put it up here. Let me find where I have the did I not bring it in? I did not bring it in. Let me take here it is. Sorry. I had it labeled odd. So here it is. This is the first round. Again, this is not a ranking. This is not any order, completely random. The first 10 songs, of course, there's more than 10 songs because there's multiple artists on here. Warmer in the Winter, Lindsey Stirling. She's the violinist. We have Last Christmas by Wham. You Make It Feel Like Christmas, Gwen Stefani. Christmas Baby Please Come Home. We have Darlene Love and You Two on there. One More Sleep, Lenoa Lewis. Go Tell It on the Mountain. We have the version that includes Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby. We also have the Dolly Parton version. The Chipmunk Song featuring the Chipmunks. Mary's Boy Child. That's supposed to say Boney M, not Money M. I'll have to change that. must have been spell check got me there. But Mary's Boy Child by Boney M and Harry Belafonte. I Believe in Father Christmas. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Or We Three Kings, Barenaked Ladies, Sarah McLachlan for one version, and Mannheim Steamroller on the other. So what do you think of this list of 10 songs to kick off the essential Christmas playlist?
I quite like that list, especially with Last Christmas being on there. The Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, I Believe in Father Christmas, is one of those songs that I think it's got a sad, because we haven't covered this song yet, but I think it's got a sad meaning, but it doesn't come across that way,
right?
If I remember rightly. But it's certainly one that I like a lot of. And yeah, and all the others, the only one I'm not familiar with would be the Leona Lewis and Lindsey Stirling, but everything else there is very familiar.
Yeah. The Lindsey Stirling is one I like. It features Trombone Shorty in this version. And the Lenoa Lewis one is probably might be one you, once you play it, you might recognize it. The I Believe in Father Christmas, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, when I saw that on the list, because I don't believe that was that wasn't one I put on there myself. I was like, "What song is this?" And as soon as I
heard it, I did that one.
As soon as I heard it, I was like, "Oh yeah, this has got to be on the list." Because I loved it every time it plays, you know, and things, you know. So it's like, you know, it got put on the list of to be included, you know, and then you know, pared down from there. And it's not there's a song. It's not on this list, but there's a song that almost got three artists because I just couldn't get it knocked out. But you know, probably the newest song on here that I can think of off the top of my head is "You Make It Feel Like Christmas," Gwen Stefani. That song has quickly become a holiday staple. You know, features Blake Shelton in that, and it's like I said, it's maybe 3 years old ish, four maybe tops, and it's quickly become a staple.
Well, I think that album's becoming quite a popular option for people.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny how certain songs or certain artists just seem to break through, whereas others who are just as good, if not better, just can't get traction?
Right.
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it, really.
Yeah. It's like Gwen Stefani's Christmas album. When I first listened to it, I was like, oh, this is all right. But then it's like I found myself listening to it a lot. And then Meghan Trainor comes out with one, and I love Meghan Trainor, but I was like, I listened to it, and it's like, oh, this is it. This, you know, I felt kind of the same way about the Gwen Stefani, but then I never really listened to it much after that.
Yep.
You know, except for her one song, "I'll Be Home." Other than that, but that song's been around a lot longer than her full album. So,
yeah.
But yeah, this is the first list. All these songs are available on Spotify, Apple Music and YouTube Music. The link to the playlist is, you know, whichever streaming service you prefer. It's down there, so you can click on it and then follow the playlist, and then it'll be updated. Every episode will unveil some more. But Mary's Boy Child, originally it was just Harry Belafonte, and then someone had the Boney M, not Money M, Boney M on there. And I was like, I need to listen to that. And I was like, oh yeah. And that was one that I was coin flipping. And I thought, well, a song can have two. So I'll put two on there.
Yeah. So, I think I might've put that one on there because that song's huge over here at Christmas time.
Yeah.
It's one of the, say maybe top 5 to 10 that they play sort of every hour through the season. So it's quite a big number, that one.
Yeah. There's a few on here. I think that have, you know, that are more popular, like you said, there in New Zealand, and some that are definitely more popular in like the UK and stuff, but being essential, you know, I try to define what that exactly means. And there's different ways you can define it. And I didn't want to be, you know, American centric about it. I wanted it to be, you know, it's like, no matter where you're from, you know, there's things that you need for life that are essential. So it's like, this is like a playlist you need for Christmas. So it doesn't matter where you're from. It's going to be a playlist that it will work for your Christmas, that kind of thing, you know?
Exactly.
So, guys in the comments have let me know what you think. It's seeming like he's like one more sleep with a question mark. That might not be one people know, but, it made the cut. Because one of the, like I said, the criteria is really all in my head and hard to explain. And one of the things I try to do is like, if I had to tell somebody what Christmas, if I had to get someone a list of songs let's say there's someone, an alien or something that does no idea what Christmas is, and the only way they can understand is through song, what list of songs would I give them to fully explain what Christmas is? That was another kind of check mark thing that was going through my head on this, you know. So I wanted to find songs that kind of, there's one song that I really love that didn't make this list, you know. And so I try to be as above board and logical as possible. Yep, but that is the first installment of the Essential Christmas Playlist. Again, links in the description if you want to follow it. If you want it on Amazon Music, let me know. I did what I consider the big three. I can put it on Amazon Music if you guys would like. But just let me know. And we got one more thing to do, Dwayne, before we let you go. We're playing a little, and I'm going to try to do this with every guest this season. Playing a little Mad Libs Christmas. So for those that aren't familiar with Mad Libs, I gave Dwayne a day or so ago a list of types of words he needs to come up with. He has no context of the story. And this is what he had, and this is what he came with. He needed a verb, a place, a noun, an adjective, another noun, and so forth and so on. And he just gave me the random words off the top of his head, yeah. You know, without knowing exactly what it is. And so, let's see what kind of story you wrote, Dwayne.
Yeah.
and the story is actually called Santa Is Coming. You better watch out. You better not slow, because Santa Claus is coming to Santa's workshop. Santa hails from the frigid North Monkey, where he lives with his tasty wife, Mrs. Claus. Santa runs a magical teacher workshop where adorable elves build every kind of toy you can imagine, from table trucks to wooden foxes to baby dolls that stretch when you tickle them. On Christmas Eve, Santa loads up his sled, which is pulled by 8 flying pencils and 1 reindeer named Rudolph, who has a shiny red elbow to light the way. Then Santa and his reindeer fly around the world, bringing cups to all the little girls and potatoes. If you leave him some milk or some cookies and water, he'll eat them happily. Ho, ho, ho. He'll laugh and his belly will shake like a bowl full of lasagna. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good goose. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But it's just something fun I was wanting to do with the guest to kind of end the episode. Because sometimes we just kind of cut it off and doesn't end well. But Dwayne, I really appreciate you joining me here on Christmas Clatter to kick off this season, this run to 2023. I have all your links in the description, but for those that are just listening, let people know where they can find you.
The easiest way is probably my link tree, which is link.ee, like link tree. If hopefully everyone knows how to do that. The Average Drummer, and that's probably the easiest way. Otherwise, tinseltunes.com and for the Tinsel Tunes podcast. And on YouTube and Twitch, it's also just The Average Drummer. So I've sort of kept it fairly simple. On YouTube, it's Townsend Lights, Christmas Lights. That'll get you to the light display as well. You shouldn't have any issues finding those. So, yeah, I'm all over the place.
Yeah. And for those listening to the podcast, they will be in the show notes. So if you guys get a chance, if you can't look at it now, just wait, come back, open the show notes, and you'll just be a tap away from Dwayne and all the wonderful things he's doing. If you're just listening to the podcast, I greatly appreciate it. It means more than you know. But if you can make it to a live on YouTube and just sit with us and interact with us, we'd really love to have you. I understand with schedules and things that it might be tough for some, and we completely understand, but we really would love to see you here as we build the best Christmas community on YouTube, the best that we can. And also, you'll miss out on the little extra we're going to do with Dwayne as soon as we end this podcast. We'll have some time in the chat to talk with some people, see what's going on. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Not this, like I said, not this Wednesday that's coming, but the Wednesday after. And we greatly appreciate it. And remember, until next time, keep Christmas hope alive every day.